Hello, it is 10 a.m. in New York, 4 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 9 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from SundayBean.com, and I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get through any life transition. Now, remember last week when I told you I had 24 hours until I flew out to Germany to deliver 4 days of training for a global organization, and I had full-on bronchitis? I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I promised you I would share with you how things went, looking at everything I tried to make the most of it so I would get healthier and not sicker and still be able to perform. So as promised, I'm going to share with you today what worked, what didn't, and what this means for us as expats as we try to live well and be successful abroad in even challenging circumstances. So let's pay attention, because when you live abroad, just taking simple care of yourself, staying healthy, can be even especially difficult depending on where you live. So let me get started by recapping what tips I mentioned last week, and I can assess for you how well they worked. So, as I said, when you are stuck between a rock and a hard place, you are getting run down, but you know it's go time and you have to perform. There are some things you can do before you go, while you're there, and when you get back to optimize your health. So, tried and true, tested by me. I'm going to give you the update right now. So, before you go, I mentioned tip number one, set expectations with those who are impacted by your work or by your performance around what they can expect from you if you're not feeling so well. Number two is move your appointments. So anything that's flexible and not absolutely urgent, move those as much as you can out of the way. Drop your standards temporarily to get the absolute minimum done and still be able to perform. Fourth is ask for help. And fifth is to take unique measures. So I'm going to give you a rundown on how these things work. So set expectations. I set expectations with the co-trainer before I left to say, listen, I'm sick and I'm going to need to take care of myself while I'm there, and that means not participate in all the evening activities so that I can give my best during the 4 days. This was very well accepted and understood, as well as communicated to my participants, so they knew that it wasn't anything personal if I couldn't be there for the whole night for, you know, the bowling activity, for example. So set expectations, I would say check mark, positive, worked really well. Moving appointments also worked really well to create some space for myself to do the bare minimum, the most important things before I left. Dropping my standards temporarily helped as well, not just before I went, but while I was there. And I can give you an example of that. Dropping your standards looks like this. It looks actually quite reasonable. So dropping my standards in a training context, I like to, when people go on break, I like to have the next thing set up. So when they walk in, it's a fresh experience. And one of the things that I did during this training activity is I realized for me to set up the room while they're on coffee break would make me move 23 chairs and 6 tables with my very petite co-trainer. And I looked at my energy and I looked at those expectations and I thought, really, is that really the most important thing right now to create that experience for them? And instead, I dropped the standard I would normally hold where they would walk in and it would be set up, voila, ready. And instead, I turned it into a 2-minute team activity where they had a drawing of how the room had to be transformed in 2 minutes. and it was effortless. They did it instantly, and I realized how silly that would have been for me to sit there and schlep 23 chairs and tables to create this aha experience. And actually, that experience was no better or worse than everybody working together for those 2 minutes to make the transformation themselves. So yes, drop my standards. Even when I was there, no, there was nothing lower. What I did is I changed the way I looked at it and said, is this the most reasonable use of my energy? Is this the thing that makes a difference? And in the training context, my energy was much better invested in the actual engagement with my clients than in whether I moved a chair or not. So for you, if you're listening and you're feeling you're in a rock and a hard place, you've got a ton on your plate and you're feeling a bit under the weather, or you're feeling like you can't do it all everywhere, think about, what standards are you holding yourself to? And are those the differences that truly make a difference in your work? And if the answer is no, you need to drop the level that you're holding yourself to a moderate, reasonable level, and then save your energy for the things that really matter. Ask for help. Again, when I drop my standards of me creating this on my own secretly while they're on at coffee, I instead ask for group participation, and everybody gained from it. And the final thing was take unique measures. And I shared in my last podcast that I was going to be that girl who wore the mask on the airplane. And you know what? I did. And I felt ridiculous. I didn't put it on until I actually got into my seat. And it felt shy, silly, awkward. But you know what? I was afraid I was going to get pneumonia. So as I said in my podcast last time, my vanity is not more important than my health or this project. So I just swallowed it and wore it. And I sent a picture to one of my friends that I work closely with of me and my mask, and we had a good laugh about it. But what did I do? I took unique measures. I said, you know what? I really want to optimize my chance of getting healthy and not sicker. So I'm going to go above and beyond to make that happen. Another unique measure I took is I imagined what the journey would be like and how comfortable I would be. And for those of you who fly economy across continents, you know it's not always that comfortable. So what I did is I just took 2 minutes to say, what will that experience be like and how can I make it better? And the unique measures I took is I took my winter jacket with me, leaving fall in South Africa, going to spring in Germany. And that was like a duvet as I was traveling, really keeping me warm. I actually needed it in the airport. But just the thought of how can I make this flight more comfortable helped me come to the idea of bringing the jacket with me. I brought the airplane pillow. Even my neighbor let me borrow her super sexy flight socks. And all of those things had an actual positive impact in making me feel more comfortable and having more energy when I landed. So taking unique measures was an excellent way to support my health and performance in this unique situation. And it didn't take a lot of time and it didn't cost a lot of money. So whatever you're facing right now, what would be the unique measure you would have to take to feel more comfortable and get more rest? Do that. I know that I have friends who, while they were raising tiny babies and working really hard, they would get a hotel the night before a big training so they could sleep uninterrupted and perform the next day and really invest in their health and their well-being. So whatever you got to do, take that unique measure to feel healthier and stronger. Okay, so I would say I would give myself an A+ for following all of those things before I went. They really paid off. Some of the same ideas paid off while I was there. So the next set of tips I gave you that we're going to check in on is what to do while you're there. The first one was take your meds. Second one was say no to the non-essentials. Third, limit Facebook and email time. Fourth, choose your food wisely. And fifth, get as much sleep or rest as possible. And the last one is think health. So how did it go? Take my meds. It was incredible. I had a list of about 14 different things. One for the acute sickness of this bronchitis I was diagnosed with. Another list of things that were helping, you know, replenish my blood with B12 and iron and all these other things that my integrative specialist said were low. So the two were kind of supporting each other. And I wrote down a list, everything I had to do in the morning and in the evening, and literally checked off the day and medication to make sure I didn't miss anything. And did this pay off? Absolutely. On the first day, I woke up feeling like I didn't have a hangover, even though I hadn't been drinking for weeks because I was sick. And I didn't have one drop of alcohol for weeks. And I woke up in the morning thinking, wow, it's like I've come out of a cloud. So getting the right support for your body, whether that's an immune booster, whether that's medicine prescribed by your doctor or the right vitamins, makes a difference. And I noticed that even in day one. And I've been taking the immune support medicine and things that the doctor prescribed now for over a week. And I do notice a difference in the morning and evening with my energy levels. So that's fantastic. Say no to the non-essentials. I went to an evening activity, hung around for maybe 10 minutes, even though I was really tired and didn't want to even show up. Physically, but emotionally, I wanted to show up. I did show up. I said hello. I took one or two pictures and participated just for a moment. And then I went to bed. And I tell you what, I went to bed at 8:15 and I didn't wake up till 6:30 the next morning. My body needed it. So saying no to the non-essentials, did I miss out on some of the fun and socializing? Yes. But was it worth it for me to really be present with everybody the next day and throughout the whole time? Absolutely. So saying no to the non-essentials helped me regain my energy and do what I came to do. Limit Facebook time and email time. I did. Thankfully, my room had really bad internet connection. So my willpower was supported by some technical difficulties in my room. So I was able to keep my promise to myself to limit Facebook and email time and make sure that I was off tech and resting as much as possible. Choose your food wisely. I limited all sugar and, as I said, absolutely no alcohol during the whole time so that I could really focus on a wide variety of vegetables and proteins so I had the strength that I needed while I was there. Get as much sleep as possible or rest. Thanks to my other strategies of saying no to the non-essentials and limiting my Facebook time, I'm very happy to say that I did get as much sleep and rest as possible while still doing the work while I was there. And the one thing I didn't do so well on while I was there was this idea, which I said, think health. When you say to yourself, oh, I'm so sick, instead of saying, I'm getting better, you actually tell your body you're sick and it makes it worse, right? So Bruce Lipton in his book of Biology of Belief gives scientific evidence of how powerful our mind is. And I did notice I struggled while I was there. I'd wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm sick. And I would have to mindfully force myself to say, no, Sunday, I'm getting better. Because I was really scared I was going to get pneumonia or something while I was there. So that was something I had to give a little bit more effort on, probably give myself, you know, a C+ on that one. I didn't download any sort of meditations that one of my friends suggested. I simply checked in every morning and in the evening and tried to say to myself, okay, Sunday, you're getting better. Okay, so while I was there, things went quite well. So the third phase is when you get back. So checking in on my strategies after I got back. I flew in Friday morning. We had an uneventful flight and a long delay to get back because of some traffic problems. And I promised myself I would take the day off and I would create a slow entry. So how did I do? I did okay. When I came back on Friday, I did clear my schedule with the exception of one phone call, and I spent probably an hour on the computer doing some other things. So did I take the whole day off? No, I probably worked for 2 hours. Should I have taken each and every hour off? I probably could have done a little bit better of a job sleeping. I was somehow restless. You know, I was excited to see my family. I had a lot of catch up to do. I was tired, and I think I caught myself at one point surfing on Facebook going, I'm on Facebook because I'm tired and can't focus. So I caught myself sort of going into the, you know, rabbit hole of Facebook, and I stopped. So give myself B+ on the taking the day off. I did quite a good job, but not completely switched off as much as I wanted to. And now it's Monday, and I'm sharing this with you. I have created a pretty slow re-entry, and I spent half of the day working and half of the day focusing on my son's birthday, which is coming up, so a family project, and that feels really nurturing to me. I went on a walk with a friend. I'm focusing on something that's important to me on the family scope, so that feels to me like a slow re-entry, much slower than I would normally take had I not been sick. So all in all, I would have to say that all the strategies that I mentioned in the podcast last week, and I'm recapping for you now, are really effective when you apply them. There's not one thing that I would take away from the list. In fact, it's actually just reinforced how important each and every one of those strategies are. So now let me share with you, now that I've updated you on how it went, we now have a verified list of things that really did work and support me. And I am happy to say that I come back not on 40%, but I feel like I'm on 80%. And I know if I hadn't done those things, I wouldn't be feeling as well as I am now. But here's what I realized in this whole process, and I really want to share this with you now. I remember sitting on the plane with that horrible mask, feeling sheepish, but happy I was protecting myself from whatever germs might be coming my way. And it dawned on me. I realized what was going on. We've talked about resilience and endurance in several of the podcasts. I've even written articles around the myths of resilience. And it hit me as we were ready to take off. And there's a myth three that I have in one of my articles, which says resilience is something you develop on your own. And I realize this whole time, when I think about resilience, I think about your emotional resilience, your mental resilience, your physical resilience. Yes, you need to be part of a community and do it with others. And resilience isn't something you develop on your own. But this whole time, I had been taking my physical resilience on my own shoulders. I had not been involving people who are specialized in health in my own resilience team. Emotional resilience, yes. Mental resilience, yes. But not physical. I've been taking health on my own, on my shoulders. And who intervened to help me now? My GP for the bronchitis, an integrative specialist for my blood values, and a chiropractor because they discovered that there was something in my hips that had been blocked and I hadn't even noticed it. So for you listening today, when you think about your own resilience, I want you to ask yourself, who is on your resilience team? Maybe you have your best friends that you call when you're feeling sad. Maybe you talk to your partner when you're going through a tough time. But have you done what I've done and kind of forgot the physical side, that you might need a team of medical experts to help you keep up your physical resilience? And this is especially important for expats because we move somewhere, we finally find a doctor after 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, and then you get ready to leave after 2 years if you're lucky to stay that long, and some of you stay longer. But it takes a while until you find a team of trusted medical professionals that you know, like, and trust. So more important than other, what are you doing? Who's on your team for your physical resilience? A GP, a gynecologist, a integrative specialist, chiropractor, dentist, I don't care. Who do you have on your team? And if you can only name one person, maybe it could benefit you if you're exploring who else could support you. And this leads me to my other aha moment. And that is, the strategies we've used in the past might not be effective in a new context. And let me explain. the things I have done to create resilience in the past might have worked when I was 20 or when I was 30. But I don't know, something happened when I turned 40. It's like all hell broke loose and everything started to fall apart. Neck aches, back aches. And I thought, wow, all the things I was doing before used to work, and now that's not enough. So the strategies that you've been using in the past might not be as effective now. And that also is true, not just with age, but context, location. If you've moved from Europe to Asia or to West Africa, the bacteria is different, the viruses are different, the climate is different, the pollution is different. And right here in Pretoria in South Africa, there are some hills that kind of surround the city, which traps in the fires that people burn, or the bacteria and the air that stays here. So you're going to maybe get different things than you did, say, in your past location. So the strategies that have worked in the past might not work now. That's point number two, the aha moment that came out for me that I really want to stress for you to keep in mind. The third thing that I'm learning that I think is important for us to take from behind the curtains and actually see is that as expats, what we see is normal. Others, including medical professionals, see as stress. And the perfect example for that are international flights. My doctor said, you know, how often do you travel? All the time. I'm traveling for work. I'm traveling for family. I am on a plane a lot. And she said, that's stressful. And I looked at her and I said, no, it's not. I've been doing this since 1997. This is not stressful. It's actually something I really enjoy. And she said, it's stressful on your body. Maybe you don't experience it as stressful, but it does have an impact. So things that we see as normal, international flights, jet lag, moving every 2 to 4 years, saying goodbye, meeting new friends, adapting to new cultures, those we might even embrace. We might love those things, but they do have an impact on your mind, on your body, and your spirit. So don't take for granted what we see as normal as not having an impact on your body, your resilience, and your health. The fourth thing that I want to share with you is that in terms of an update on how I'm doing now. So when we come back from the big event, you've been sick, you've managed to perform the big thing that was important to you, you've applied the strategies that I've shared, and you're really feeling pretty okay. Maybe you're like me and you're on 80%. And the one thing I realize now talking to you is that actually now that the big thing is done, now more than ever, I need to apply the strategies that we just talked about. Take care of yourself so that you get back up to 100% and not slide down to sick. This whole experience of being proactive at getting over this hurdle and doing everything I could to get healthier and not sicker reinforces the importance of each and every one of us being proactive so our needs get met. So if you're in a situation like I was last week, or if you've got something really big coming up, but you know that you're getting run down, I really want to encourage you to take care of your body, because your body is this temple of health, and when we're feeling healthy, then we can feel happy and successful and do all of the things that we need to do to be proactive about feeling better. Because, I mean, what's more important than your health, which leads to your happiness, your success, and quality relationships? It all goes back to taking care of yourself in the best way that you can. You know, I don't know about you, but I can't enjoy Jack if I'm not feeling good. I just close down everything. I just want to sort of run away until I feel better. So I just want to support you today, reminding you that resilience is not something that we develop on our own. And when it comes to our physical resilience, we might need a team of people to support us. They might have expertise about things going on in your body and in your life that we just can't see because it's too close. Remember that the strategies that you used in the past just might not work now or where you're at, and that what we as expats see as normal, others, including medical professionals, might see that as stress, and we might underestimate the impact that it has on us. Thank you for listening to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Bean, and I'd like to leave you with words of wisdom from Deepak Chopra and Publius Siris. No matter how much it gets abused, the body can restore balance. The first rule is to stop interfering with nature. Thank you, Deepak Chopra, for that reminder for us to get out of our own way and let nature take its course in healing. And finally, from Mr. Siris, good health and good sense are two of life's greatest blessings. All right, you guys, take care. Here's to your health.